Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet will join us in 1 hour. We'll get his full breakdown and all of his thoughts on the absolute craziness that has been the Stanley Cup playoffs so far. But let's get to your thoughts. Chris Sanders went on Stillman & Company yesterday. He says he thinks there is a quarterback controversy. Do you? Let's get your thoughts on that. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. If you have a thought, Doug is on the line with a thought on the quarterbacks. What's up, Doug?
Hey, guys, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me. I listened to the press conference, and you hear the question, you know, what do you think about the draft toward, you know, Ryan Tannehill? I look at it like this if I'm Tannehill, and you pretty much know that there's a possibility, money-wise, you're not going to be here. I'm just thinking, the answer to that question is, you tried it last year, I put that to rest. You try it again this year, you put that to rest. Really, to me, Will Levis needs to be trying to beat out Malik Willis.
I think that's an
interesting idea.
I think that would fall in line with what Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel said, is you're starting as the number three guy. You have to earn it. And you want to be fair to Malik Willis and say, look, you're here. You're under contract. We're not just going to completely act like you're not here. Like, let's start with baby steps. Let's climb the stairs. Now, you would certainly privately hope that based on what you've seen from Malik Willis, that Will Levis can accelerate faster and get to a higher level. But there's different pathways, right? There's a lot of guys that haven't looked good early, and then they figure it out. Like, we talked about Geno Smith's career path yesterday. Pretty crazy. Thrown into the fire early, didn't look so good, then went away for a long time before he got another opportunity. Now he's pretty good. So I kind of agree with the philosophy of Doug, and that is just let's just see how it goes, right? Let's put him out there. Let's give him a chance. And you earn everything you get. That's probably the best way to build a quarterback, right? Don't just hand him the job. Yeah. Say, here you go.
I mean, yeah, in this, especially in this situation, because you have – you know, your incumbent still there, and you just don't want to, you know, draft this guy and say, oh, you're the guy or you're the number two guy. Well, I've found that if you want to get the most out of an individual, let him go or her go through that process of, you know, in this situation, the quarterbacks, let them go through that process of learning, competing, failing, getting back up, having a good day, having a bad day, stacking good days on top of one another. Let him go through that. And then at the end of camp, if he's done enough, shown enough to move up to two, that's where he's at. If he's shown enough, done enough, move up to one, then okay. It's not a bad problem to have, you know, unless Ryan Tannehill just plays and practices like, you know, he never played the position before, which I can't see that happening. But you let him go through those ebb and flows of winning a starting job. And then, because you know, once he gets it, if indeed he does get it, once he gets it, he understands what it took to get there. And he won't, you know, get sort of complacent with just being a starter. You know, so they put him at third. I mean, I know in their mind they believe, well, he'll work his way up to second. We get that. We've seen Malik Willis, and you know, he'll work his way up to second. But let him earn it, and let him earn it. Don't just give it to him. Let him earn it.
They went about it the right way.
Exactly, absolutely.
And wouldn't it be nice? This is the flaw in the system: is that if you were playing another sport, you would let them play at the minor league level.
Mm-hmm.
And you would say, all right, Malik Willis, second year, first year didn't go all that great, but now you're at AA and Will Levis is at AAA. You know, you put them on two different minor league teams. That's what would happen in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And you let it work itself out.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the developmental system that baseball has built, and football has never had a minor league system. I don't get it.
The closest thing to a minor league system is college.
Yeah, college is your minor league system.
And
right.
Obviously that doesn't tell you what you need to know, right when you draft these guys.
Yeah.
So that's another question, is can you get guys reps? Is it going to be tilted, right? I knew this as a 25th round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the same reps as the first round draft pick, right, in the spring training. Like, mm-hmm. Second round pick, you get the reps over here on field one. Willie, you're on field four over here with the other guy. You know, so it's not a fair competition. So I think that's what Malik Willis is probably going to be dealing with, right? He's going to have to, you know, outclass mm-hmm. in maybe less chances than Will Levis. Will Levis is going to be given a lot of opportunities. Like, I don't think Malik Willis is going to play all three preseason games mm-hmm. like he did last year, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going
to
happen.
So he's going to have to find other ways to show that he's made progress without going into a bunch of preseason games or USFL games, whatever imaginary developmental system that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the question. That's a tough thing.
And I think that the Titans drafting Will Levis and the Titans' desired investment into a quarterback that they didn't get. I mean, we know, as Diana Russini reported, they wanted to move up to three and take C.J. Stroud. That's a whole lot more investment that they were willing to give the position than they did. So even the intentions of drafting a quarterback that high and what they actually did in drafting Will Levis shows me they don't have a whole lot of confidence in Malik Willis. But they did go about it the right way. Mm-hmm. When Vrabel came out and said, Tannehill 1, Willis 2, Levis 3. You're not going to let Will Levis, who hasn't taken a single snap on your football field, come in and be above Malik Willis, who's had a year within the system. That's not saying that I think that Malik Willis is truly going to be quarterback 2 once we go into the season. I don't think that at all. But at least publicly, they're going about it the right way. Let's get back into some of your phones. Robert texts in, says, I hope that Ryan balls out and Levis struggles just enough for them to not be able to move on from Ryan. And at the end of the year, I hope he takes the Titans to the bank for how they've done him the last few years.
Well, it's
good. A morbid way of sort of looking at things.
Do you want the team? It's not a personal thing, right? You want the team
personal.
To do well. So that's the thing we talked about yesterday is, look, trying to be realistic. There's plenty of times where a team on paper doesn't look like they're going to be all that great, and then they have a really good year, right? If things come into it's the beauty of the salary cap, right? There's a lot of ways a team season can go. It's you're not that far from 10-7 last year, but you go 7-10 because so many things happened that you hoped wouldn't created a lot of hardship, right? Mm-hmm. But there's not that much difference. Like you said, it still came down to the last game. And a pick six where they almost pulled it out and still made the playoffs with all of the stuff they're dealing with. So it could fall right. They could get lucky and stay healthier. And Ryan Tannehill has a good year. Maybe one of the unknown wide receivers emerges and has a nice year, something like that that's sort of unexpected. And you're not even thinking about Will Levis, right? But the opposite could be true as well. You could be sitting there at 4-8 to where it's just obvious. Look, you're not going anywhere. Tannehill may or may not be part of the problem. It's like, okay, we just got to find out. Let's just see what we've got with the other guy. You know?
I don't think you can look at your team as a fan and hope that one guy struggles just so the other guy can continue to, you know, be in that role mm-hmm. as the starter. Because eventually, I think what some people don't realize is this. Ryan Tannehill, anything short of a Super Bowl, they moved on from him. He's not their quarterback 2024. They drafted this guy in the second round for a reason. He's their quarterback of the future. If he shows what he needs to show, you know, from a playing standpoint, which I believe he will, he's their quarterback of the future, and their future starts 2024. It may start earlier than that, depending on, you know, how Will Levis develops in his system. But you can't look at it and say, well, if Will, you know, I hope Will Levis struggles. What happens if Will Levis struggles, Ryan Tannehill's doing well, he gets hurt again. Now you got to go to Will Levis because he struggled. Now your team is bad. So why don't we just hope for healthy competition, both guys, all three guys get better in this situation, and that one pushes the other, which in turn pushes the other, which in turn hopes elevate the whole team, you know, from the quarterback position. Because eventually, whether y'all like the pick or not from Will Levis, if he shows any promise, he's their quarterback.
He's going to be your starting quarterback.
He's going to be your starting quarterback.
Eventually. It's just a matter of when.
So let's not hope for his demise. I hope the kid balls out. So we're closer to knowing when our next 10, 15 years is going to start than not. If he balls out this year, I hope Ryan balls out too in practice, and they got to make a decision. And if they go with Will Levis, then Ryan has balled out, and he's going to be on another team with a massive contract.
And I'm guessing that the same people or person that wants Will Levis to struggle this season are going to be the same people that are yelling this time next year about how we don't have a viable option at starting quarterback. I think everyone would sleep a whole lot better at night knowing that Will Levis is progressing at a really great rate, at the rate that he is ready to take over this offense in 2024. That's the most ideal situation if indeed he does look ready to take over as a starting job in 2024. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, D-Mays made a claim yesterday. And that same kind of sentiment has been reverberated through other people throughout the city. And we'll get to that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063 The Game.
Did you think or expect a wide receiver might get drafted by this team before number 228?
They don't ask me, you know, my thoughts on draft picks. You know, Mike and Rand make those decisions. Obviously, you know, I knew it was an area that could be addressed, but they did just a little bit probably later than I thought it was going to. But we added some other key positions, some talent that will help us across the board.
That was Ryan Tannehill and his media availability yesterday. And it's hard not to sense at least a little bit of frustration in Ryan Tannehill's voice in his response that yesterday. Like, expected a wide receiver maybe a little bit earlier than the seventh round. But, you know, of course, we're looking forward to you know, bringing on the new guys and seeing what they can do. So, you know, showed us a little bit of how he felt, where his mind's at. Well, of course, playing the politician game. And if Ryan Tannehill's a little bit frustrated about it, I really don't blame him. And D-Mace, you said yesterday, with a little hesitation, because it is a big statement to make, but you said it almost felt like the Titans are setting up Ryan Tannehill to fail.
Yeah, and it was with a lot of hesitation because Willie just kept coming at me, coming back at me. When I would say something, he would come back at me. So it was like, this is what I really mean.
When you say
as if it, like, you know that the Titans are not intentionally
setting exactly, and that's what I hope. I conveyed yesterday that people didn't misinterpret, you know, me saying, oh, the Titans set him up to fail, and that was the end of it. No, it's what they have done, because I go back to what, and I said this yesterday, I go back to what Vrabel said after that Cincinnati game. And then when he said that, he had to walk it back. And when he said that, I even said to y'all, I was like, listen to what he's saying. He's telling y'all right now that Ryan Tannehill can't do it alone. He's not that quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he's not that quarterback that can take, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman, guys like that, and just make them, you know, good players or really good players, and they fit the system. We're just going and we're scoring points, even though we lost Tyreek Hill.
You can get rid of Tyreek Hill and still win a Super Bowl.
Exactly, because I got that quarterback. Well, Ryan Tannehill, Mike told you, Coach Vrabel told you that. Like, he's not, in so many words, he's not that guy. We got to be great around him. He said these were his words.
And in fairness, there are very few quarterbacks.
Yeah, and there are very few. Absolutely,
that can do what Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly.
Has done.
There's probably two or three quarterbacks in the league.
It's special.
Yeah,
a
that
special
are special. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes. And if you want to dial it down a little bit more, you just say Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. That's it.
Yeah.
That's shown they can do that. So when I look at this roster, and I look at what they have done over the course of the last two seasons, after what Mike said, and then you look at this season and the moves they have not made or the ones they have made, at this point today, just like I said yesterday, because they hadn't did anything to upgrade the roster yet, as of today, it seems if one was to hear what Vrabel said 2 years ago, then watch them get rid of A.J. Brown, and, you know, go out and get a Robert Woods that was coming off an ACL, and then release Robert Woods, get Treylon Burks, and then don't bring in another guy that has some skins on the wall somehow, some way. It almost looked as if a person just walking in, don't know anything, like, man, they're really setting this kid up to fail. I don't know nothing about the kid, but looking at this roster compared to what I heard 2 years ago, he's not in a good space as a quarterback. I don't know. You put any quarterback under this situation, just about 99% of the quarterbacks, they ain't going to flourish under this situation in the passing game.
Well, what I kept coming at you guys with when you guys were challenging with this argument, I was saying my vision of what I think they're doing is a little more 2 to 3 years out than it is this year. And I think it's been different for them the last few years. I think they were year to year. How can we win? We feel like we got a good – We got an unbelievable weapon in Derrick Henry. We got a pretty good defense. We got a great young coach. We're cranking. We're close. You know, we're right in there. I think they're taking a little different vision right now. Is, hey, we'd still like to be good. Mm-hmm. It's not a full rebuild. We're not tanking, anything like that. But we've got to pay the fiddler a little bit here with some high salary cap. We have limited resources, and I don't know if we can fill all of the holes for this year without really – again, mortgaging the future and really having to pay a big price. They drafted the quarterback with the second pick, which they could have used for a wide receiver, but they took their swing at the quarterback. So that's what I'm challenging you guys with, is let's look beyond this year. To me, that's what they have to do, because whether they, no matter how they do this year, and I think if best case scenario, how far can this group take you with Tannehill, Henry, Byard, other aging guys? Because next year you might be starting fresh anyway. So how much do you go for it this year? And how much do you sort of try to say, I'm going to build this roster over the next 2 or 3 years with limited – we don't have a huge amount of assets. Not like Houston or some of these other teams that had a ton of draft picks, ton of cap space to go address things.
And in fairness, the Titans have tried to bolster up the receiver room. They went out and got Julio Jones. It was a bad move. It didn't work, but they at least tried. This past season, they went out and they got Robert Woods. Again, it didn't work, but at least they tried. But Gentry Estes reiterates a similar sentiment that what you're saying, D-Mace, in his most recent opinion piece in the Tennessean. The headline is, Ryan Tannehill deserves better from the Tennessee Titans than this sloppy offseason. And all of the points that Gentry Estes is making, I wholeheartedly agree, and I almost feel bad for Tannehill. The trade rumors coming out. Tannehill hears those. The fact that they did not address wide receiver until the 7th round, and I totally hear your point, Willie, but it's still, the fact remains that they didn't address wide receiver until the 7th round, and that still very much so is a glaring position of need. Last season, I know it's a different administration. I know it was John Robinson and now Rand Carthon, but it's still the same treatment to Ryan Tannehill, that they basically virtually unaddressed the offensive line. That they didn't bring in any sort of insurance at right tackle. That it was Dylan Radins, let's hope he works out. Hope was the strategy there on the offensive line. And it didn't work out. There have been so many things that have transpired with Tannehill. The trade rumors, wide receiver room, the offensive line this past season. That they've just given Ryan Tannehill the short end of the stick.
Do we really think they were trade rumors, though? They were really real. I mean, there was kind of a, hey, if Rodgers doesn't go to the Jets, then in theory, me, that's very different than the Titans were shopping Ryan Tannehill.
Charles Robinson went on Yahoo Sports podcast and said they were calling around about Tannehill.
Who was calling around?
teams, the Titans. I'm not sure. It's
we're not sure.
We have the clip from Charles Robinson. We can
okay.
We can pull
so Charles Robinson is the I understand Charles Robinson's good, but I'm saying I would say that's about it was about a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10 of trade rumors. Like that was not a real thing. It was kind of like let's see how the dominoes fall. And I still think there, the scenario could come back. Come on. I mean, this is part of the business.
Charles Robinson is a lot of good inside information.
The franchise can't revolve around Ryan Tannehill. The whole – you have to look beyond, like I'm saying, 2-3 years down the road. Ryan Tannehill is not going to be in the picture. So I also think it's very different this offseason as opposed to last year or the year before when you thought you had a chance to win the whole thing. So that's where I discount Gentry's thing. I can't go back to last year. I'm looking at this offseason, but it's limited resources. These wide receivers don't grow on trees. You don't have all the salary cap room. They did address the offensive line this year because it was so bad last year, and that's where they used a lot of what they had to offer.
Well, you have to take these stories because I can see if Ryan Tannehill had played superb and, you know, the last few years, nothing was, you know, he had a great game against Cincinnati. He came back the next following year and was having a great season and everything was looking great. And then all of a sudden at the end of the season, now, you know, you're 2 months or a month into the off season, and all of a sudden these trade rumors come up. Then I can discount it and be like, nah, because what I'm seeing on the field doesn't match what these rumors are saying. But it was contrary to that. He did have a bad game. He did not play as well, you know. Then he gets hurt this season. So when those rumors come out, an agent player, I've been there. You know, it's like an agent player, when they start to say, well, you might get released, you hear those things. And it does affect you in a way like, okay, do I need to look for a new home? Do I got things I have to do with my family? Is this true? You don't try to go down every rabbit hole. But when your name comes up in trade rumors or releasing, you hear it.
Yeah.
And it does affect you. So I understand we can't discount that regardless of what's going on and who it came from. If it came from, I'm not going to say who it came, let's not discount it no matter who it came from. If it comes from a reputable person, someone that is doing their job and going in depth, then you have to listen. You have to think
back as a
player.
But that's my argument. I know I don't. This is our job to decipher when Charles Robinson says one thing and he says teams are calling around. To me, those aren't trade rumors. That's just teams assessing, as Rand Carthon said, snooping for information. A trade rumor to me is when you're really getting next level kind of stuff.
But we don't know. But we don't know if the Titans, if indeed the Titans were proactive in those things.
Do you think they were?
I don't know. I honestly,
it's our job to give our opinion on that.
Okay,
how did you feel about it?
I never thought they were actively being proactive.
That's where when you use the word proactive, to me, nowhere near proactive.
Let's continue the conversation on the other side. Gentry Estes in the Tennessee and says that Ryan Tannehill deserves better from the Tennessee Titans in this offseason. What do you think about it? Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The Tennessee Titans, this is going to be interesting because not only have the Tennessee Titans been grinding pretty hard on this quarterback class, I think they're also starting to look, from people I've talked to, they're starting to look afield and see if there might not be a place where Ryan Tannehill could fit on another NFL team. Now, I'm not saying they're shopping Tannehill here, okay? I want to be real careful here. They're not saying they're shopping Tannehill, but I do think that they are starting to look and say, if we can somehow get ourselves in position to potentially draft inside the top 5, 4, 3 picks, somewhere in there, and take a quarterback, do we have a place for Ryan Tannehill? Is there someone out there who will give us basically anything to take this guy on at this point, take him off our hands? And I think they're pretty serious about it.
There are those Charles Robinson, and hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball tomorrow night at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the St. Paul Saints, the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Gentry Estes had an opinion piece in the Tennessean, and the headline is Ryan Tannehill deserves better from the Tennessee Titans this sloppy offseason. And look, Ryan Tannehill is paid very handsomely to be the quarterback of this football team. So I have a hard time, you know, really playing the world's tiniest violin for Ryan Tannehill. But at some point, you know, when you're not addressing wide receiver, when last season he's going out there with just a pack of jabronis at the offensive line, some of the trade rumors that have come up throughout the offseason, I have to agree with Gentry Estes that what Ryan Tannehill has done for this football team, he does deserve more.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I'm sure within that building they're trying to do whatever, you know, it takes within the confines of, you know, the structure, the money structure of where the team is at. They're trying their best to, you know, fill spots and fill holes on this team. Yeah, they took swings, but it's just like, was that a serious swing y'all took? I don't consider, if my car, and hope nothing goes wrong with it, but say if I had a car that, you know, always had engine troubles or just was, you know, I needed it fixed, and I'm thinking, okay, I need to get this fixed, get another car. But then I decide, okay, I'm going to get another car. But then I get a car. Let's say now my car is not broke. It's just old. Let's just say it's old. And I'm like, well, I need a new car. So I go and get a new car, but that new car has problems. I'm not taking a chance. That's just deliberately not wanting to pay to get a better car. So you're hoping that this car works for a little while. That's not saying, oh, I'm going for it. Going for it was me going out and get a car that I know is going to work. It's going to get me to work back and forth, and I have no troubles at all. If I need to go to Florida, I can go to Florida in this car. I'm going for it. Let's do it. I'm not worried about whether the engine's going to, you know, go out on me or the air conditioner's going to go out. Something's going to go wrong with the car. That's essentially what the Titans did with their receiving core. They had a really good receiver. They chose to let him, they traded him away. They had an opportunity to keep one that was good, got you point A, point B, and C and D. Wasn't the fastest. Wasn't, you know, it was okay. Wasn't great. But you chose to let that car go to get a car that had problems. And you say that's going for it? That's not going for it. That's basically putting yourself in a position where you're going to, or a lot of people are going to regret what you just did. And your team more likely is going to suffer. Them going to get Julio Jones, who had been injured. He had been injured. You know, and what was coming out of Atlanta, they was ready to get rid of him. Then you bring him here, and what happened? The same thing that was happening in Atlanta. He was getting hurt, missing games. He was on, and nobody can tell me different. He wasn't on Mike Vrabel's good list. I can tell you that. Nobody can tell me didn't. I haven't heard anything, but from what I observed, he wasn't on Mike's good list. Okay? So then you take a shot at that. Didn't work. Hell, you had to have known it wasn't going to work. Then you go out and get another injured guy in Robert Woods. You repeat the same thing over again. Who does that? Like, that's like going to get, it's like, I don't know, like, again, going to get a broke car, it not work, and then say, well, I'm going to go get another broke car and hope and pray, oh, please, God, let this work. No, you're going down the same road again. You went down it. That's why when Estes says that, it's like, okay, I can kind of sort of get what he's saying, because you're not, when you had an opportunity to build on that receiving core, you chose not to do it. You got rid of Corey Davis, which I said you shouldn't have. He didn't work out in the Jets, and it seems like they're going to cut him. But on this team, he was perfect. Just like Jonnu Smith, he was perfect for this team. You allowed him to walk away. Then you brought in another guy. Didn't work. Then you brought in another injured guy. Didn't work. Then you traded the number one guy away. Didn't work. What are you doing?
It hasn't worked yet.
It hadn't worked. Yeah. No, I'm just saying it didn't work from the standpoint of last season where...
Right. It wasn't an immediate return.
Well, Treylon Burks was... And y'all know, I've always said, I think Treylon Burks is going to be a player in this league. But you had an opportunity to continue to build on that wide receiver room where you wouldn't be in this situation that you're in now. That's all I'm saying. So in essence, it does sort of look like, you know, from the outside looking in, like, man, you really ain't did anything to help this quarterback from a passing game standpoint. You haven't. Because all you've done, you've hopefully beefed up the offensive line, but that helps the running back more than it helps the quarterback, because if I still don't have guys that can get open consistently and catch the ball, how is this offensive line helping me?
But I guess my thought is, how far are we going back here? Okay, like I feel like Ryan Tannehill has had a pretty good run as the starting quarterback for the Titans.
I only went 2 years back.
It's been the best portion of his career by far. And Gentry's point of view, which I understand, if you're just looking straight from what are the needs of Ryan Tannehill right now, everything revolves around Ryan Tannehill, then I guess I can see the argument, but building a football team for the present and the future cannot revolve around the needs of a 35-year-old quarterback in the last year of his contract.
It should, because...
Why? No, he's gone after this year.
Because those needs bleed over into the next quarterback.
You're still going to need a receiver next year.
And it makes it better for the next quarterback that's stepping in. Why?
Right.
Because these guys now have experience.
But you had a lot of other holes to fill as well. You will have more cap space next year with the Byard contract, the Henry contract, and the Tannehill contract off of the books. And you will have, in theory, if it works, it may not, but you would have the opportunity to start a quarterback on a rookie salary, and you have a lot more, and you would go about it like a lot of teams. Then you have more resources to go after.
But they're not positioning it.
But you hope to build.
Am I wrong,
you hope
Caroline?
Not to have five
they're
position
not
groups.
Positioning
but,
that.
But you have
no.
You,
but
you,
not
everything you said
your
had
argument.
Nothing. You said nothing about the defense. Nothing about
the
anything
defense
else.
Is good.
Right, because the defense, they had resources to the defense.
What I'm saying, it's
you only have a certain. You got to address all of the position groups, not just what helps your
but
quarterback.
But what you're saying, Willie, is they're positioning themselves for next year. They're not thinking about this season. If that is indeed the case, then say that. But that's not what's coming out of that building, that they're positioning themselves for 2024 season. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, what have I been saying? I do think that they're not going to say that, but that is their actions is we'd like to
their
be competitive this year.
To that.
It's not a tank, but I think there is a transitional rebuild going on. They'd like to be good, especially if they're going to stick. Now, this is the next big thing.
Yeah.
Are they going to stick with Tannehill, Byard, and Henry, the existing contracts? Because that's going to limit what else they can do with roster flexibility, et cetera. But if they can absorb the remaining portion of their contracts without kicking the can down the road, then they will be in much better position to grow the roster in the coming years. That's sort of the dilemma they're in. So what I see is a team that would like to be competitive with some veterans, see what you've got in some of these other guys, and then next year you're looking at the next phase, the next era, really.
And I think I like that strategy.
Yeah.
You run it back, it's
but that
probably...
But that means you can't cater to every need of Ryan Tannehill this year. You can't have it both ways. You can't do both.
They could have drafted a receiver.
Okay, but we've been through that whole thing, how the board changes.
Yeah. I know we've been through that, but I think that you could have. You could have addressed
right.
another
and they
need
wouldn't
of
have addressed Will Levis.
Receiver.
They would not have had Will Levis.
They could have drafted Will Levis. We've been through this. I know that we have. But all I'm saying is there's been a lot of things, both this offseason and the last couple of off seasons, that look like you're not giving Ryan Tannehill all of the tools that he needs to succeed. And I know it's two different general managers. Last year was John Robinson. This year was Rand Carthon. I can't criminalize Rand Carthon for some of the decisions that were made for John Robinson. But the truth remains that over the last couple of off seasons, Ryan Tannehill just hasn't been given a whole lot of help. That's the only point that I'm making.
He's had a pretty good run.
He has. He has. In spite of a whole lot of roster dysfunction, he has had a whole lot of help. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get your some of your thoughts on this. Elliot Friedman in 15 minutes. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMays, we'll chat with Elliot Friedman in 10 minutes. Want to get to your phone calls and your text, 615-737-1025. Interesting little tidbit, Willie, that you just found, I believe, from Paul Kaharsky on Twitter.
I saw Paul's tweet, and I also read this morning, according to Sports Illustrated, the Falcons director of college scouting, Anthony Robinson, has been hired by the Titans as assistant general manager with a focus on scouting.
Which kind of fits Rand's scouting background.
Yep, and of course, Rand was in Atlanta, so obviously has a relationship with Anthony. And then you couple that with what I just saw Paul tweet. I guess it was about 30 minutes ago he tweeted it out, and I just happened to see it. But Ryan Cowden is no longer on the team's website. Now, Ryan Cowden is an assistant general manager. So I'm curious what we're going to see here in the next few hours, because I don't think there has been a formal announcement about Robinson's hire. And so I'm curious in the next few hours, like, people are going to start asking a lot of questions. Right now we're just guessing here, but if it's one in, one out, that to me, at least from the surface, from where I sit, you've got Rand Carthon now bringing in one of, quote, his guys, and a guy that has been there for a long time in Cowden. And I don't want to pit one against the other, but Vrabel's guys. So, I mean, I'm just looking at it. There are some different eyeballs in the process here that were prior to Rand Carthon's hiring. So it's not just Rand with all of Vrabel's guys.
Right.
You know, and then you couple that with Monty Ossenfort, who was very much a part of the puzzle before, who is now the GM for Arizona. Right? So now Rand Carthon has a different group. So the dynamic has shifted some.
And I do
do you guys sort of see the same thing?
Totally.
A little bit?
And I do think that this has, and this is my interpretation of the situation, we don't have details just taken off the website, which I do think speaks volumes. I don't think, at least from the knowledge that we have, that this is something against Ryan Cowden. I think this is just Rand wanting to build his team of scouts and assistant GMs. And that Ryan Cowden just didn't fit into that equation. I think that's natural. You know, the guys from the former regime go out, you bring in new guys in the new regime.
And the question that everybody would have, right, that I don't know, you know, I don't know the inner workings of the building, is just a natural question would be, how does Mike Vrabel feel about this?
Is a collaboration.
Was he on board with it? What are his feelings towards Cowden? He's known Cowden for a long time. There were I don't say rumors, right? But there was a lot of speculation that Ryan Cowden was very much a candidate to replace John Robinson.
I thought he was the leader
to
in the clubhouse.
Be elevated from the interior, especially when Monty Ossenfort got the job for Arizona. True?
Yes, I thought that.
So as
that
the
Ryan
internal,
Cowden was
he was the
leader.
Internal candidate, and now he's gone. So that's. And remember, there was a when they made the hire of Carthon, there wasn't a lot of talk about Cowden. It was like, yeah, he's still around. He's still, you know, there wasn't a lot of specifics about how his role changes or stays the same. Mm-hmm. But I think Rand Carthon, you know, he's brought in the guy from Green Bay who's the analytics guy. So now he's got two guys that he has known for a long time that he really likes. So he's starting to surround himself with some outsiders, which is probably a welcome sight for a lot of Titans fans, right? You get some new eyeballs in there, and now we test the collaboration a little bit more, right? Can Mike Vrabel work with these guys? How does he mesh with these guys? Mm-hmm. That's the goal, right? That everybody gets together and you end up with a better product.
And I do think it kind of goes back to Rand Carthon's introductory press conference. He was asked about scouting, analytics, and Rand Carthon said, you need a healthy balance of both.
Yeah.
Because it was the analytics guys that brought forth to me. I forgot which running back in particular it was for the 49ers, but there was the analytics guys were like, you got to take a look at this guy. So then they turned to the scouts, and the scouts watched the film. So it was like the perfect marriage of analytics and scouting that they found this diamond in the rough in the sixth round, fifth round, a late round. So this kind of is coming into fruition that now the two assistant GMs, one is an analytics guy in Chad Brinker coming from Green Bay, and then one is a pure scouting guy.
Yeah.
So you're kind of seeing both of those come together in the little tree that Rand Carthon is building for himself. I think it's interesting.
And Derek, I was reading about Anthony Robinson. It was an interesting story, right? He was a guy who was a college football player at Morgan State, not a great player, but then at a certain point, stopped going to college, just got a job, and he was doing really well as a Jeep salesman, but just had a passion, wanted to get involved in football. And he calls up the Ravens, Eric DaCosta, and just starts wearing him out, saying, I'd like to talk to you. I think I can do this. And Eric DaCosta said, okay, here's a bright young guy that, you know, is eager. Let's see what he's all about. He kind of gave him a chance to meet with him. He comes in a suit and tie, and he treated it like a job interview. He didn't have his college degree, so he couldn't hire him at that point. He was like, okay, I like, DaCosta said, I like what this guy brings to the table. So he goes back, he gets his degree, he becomes a coach, and stays in touch and works his way up from the absolute bottom. But then years later, he's with the Falcons with Rand Carthon, and Rand obviously really likes his eye for talent, right? And what he was saying was his philosophy is, I've got to make sure I know what my team is running right now, because I have to match up what we're running with what this player can do. So that's, like you said, it's opposite of analytics, right? It's also the eye for talent, but matching it practically with. So it's really two different viewpoints, but I think it's a pretty cool story.
I think it's the correct balance.
Yeah, it is. If you read the article and what he's been through and you know, DaCosta giving him a chance to, you know, sort of live out his dream of being, you know, back in football, because he did play briefly at Morgan State, but then sort of got out of it. But then the article does say there was this void missing because he loved football so much. So he does what he needs to do and finds himself in a position where he's helped, you know, Atlanta get people like Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, and other guys on that roster. He helped scout those guys to bring them in. So it's a cool story. But yeah, this whole, you know, GM thing with the Titans, or assistant GM thing, it's sort of, I think it's a bigger story than what it is now, and it may become, you know, more of a talked about thing as we get more into sort of the more away from like the draft and start concentrating on other things.
Because it's not just scouting for the draft next year. It's scouting free agents, waiver wire guys, all of that. But it does seem like there's a bit of a shift or a shakeup in how the decision-making process is going to go with these new guys.
It's definitely a lot more analytically driven now, from it seems. Then go back a couple years ago, the Titans were the only team in the league that didn't have a single person employed specifically for data and analytics. So now we're coming, you know, a few years down the line, new general management and kind of a different shift. Let's get a very quick thought in here before we head to Elliot Friedman. Jack is on the line. What's up, Jack?
Carolyn, I wanted to call and agree with you that I think Ryan has done a remarkable job with a hugely revolving cast of characters to get us as far as he did. My only real question, past the draft and whatever, I don't care if the entire starting lineup is future Hall of Famers. What are they doing about the injuries? Because if you can't keep them upright, it doesn't matter how good they are, because they're not going to last.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Jack. I think they're trying to figure that out as best as they possibly can and as quickly as they possibly can. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.